This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Kelly Anissa. A shopping centre in Shah Alam has found a sustainable way to manage food waste by recycling them into animal feed and farm fertiliser. We find out how they're doing this from Anthony Dillon, who is the COO of Central Patana Public Company Limited Malaysia, or CPN Malaysia. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes, glad to have you with us as well. Let's start off with something general. Do you know how much food waste Malaysian malls generate daily?
In actual fact, for shopping centres in Malaysia, if you look at our own shopping centre in the last 3 months or so, we've just started it, right? Last month in July, we had close to 1.5 tons of food waste generated from there. Of that number, when we started off, it was 1.5 tons. July, we had close to 44 tons of food waste that we have transported to the location for the black soldier flies, which is the area where it's converted into feed meals and so forth. Looking at food waste was something of an accidental nature. Initially, when we were looking at managing the whole refuse situation in any property and so forth, we were looking at seeing how we could actually counter smells and leachates. From there, we went on to actually look at composting and so forth. However, we found that we had a partner that was proposing to us whether you could actually help to segregate food waste from your shopping centre and then send it off to a plant to be converted into something useful. Yeah.
So this initiative focuses on food waste specifically.
Correct.
And, you know, when we talk about that, are we referring to foods that customers simply throw away during a meal, or are we looking at the preparation process?
Right. When you look at food waste, it basically consists of preparatory items, your fruit peels, vegetable peels, your odd ends of animals or even plant-based, right? And you also look at food that was not consumed and wasted by customers. The idea of this basically gives you another data. The other data that you find out is that Malaysians seem to waste a lot of food. Right, it's pretty scary. I know when we look at it, it's nice to see that food waste sending off to an area into a plant to be converted is huge, but that gives you another scary picture. How much of this is also wasted by the customers, right, eating food? So with that data, eventually we're also looking at perhaps educating not only on recycling food waste, but perhaps also telling F&B players that perhaps the portions are too huge. Once you have a huge portion served to the customers, it can't finish it. It goes down to the waste.
And I know that this, you know, this sustainable initiative that the mall has been using involves flies.
Correct.
Black soldier flies, to be specific. Yeah. So could you just maybe walk me through the science behind this method that, you know, you're currently using to manage the food waste?
All right. When we were looking at various options, we were looking at waste management in the initial days. I think 5 years ago, we were talking to a waste manager with regards to refuse, going up to the landfills, looking at tipping costs and how to better manage our refuse, from construction refuse to food refuse to recyclables to non-recyclables, right? Recyclables at that point of time, we were looking at bottles, plastics, cardboards and everything else. And we were looking at food waste another way, which is basically composting as opposed to anything else. And he was in the know of somebody that was doing something with black soldier flies. Black soldier flies are basically the main player in this plant. And the plant was, I think, was initiated in 2012, right? A French company, right? They were previously based in Madagascar, right? They came into Malaysia, set up a plant. Prototype started off way back in middle of 2012. And in that case, they were basically looking at improving the way food has been processed and then creating new food, right? Now, this food waste is also used for aquaculture, for fish meal, and so forth. The flies have a lifespan of about close to a month, right? And basically, after they eat, the ingest the food waste itself, it will turn into larvas. I mean, from the larva stage, they will turn into pupas, and then later on, the pupas itself will also become food waste or protein waste, which can be used to create fish meals.
Mm.
Now, the reason for this is that as you look at the whole world, based on the United Nations, I think in 2013, they had a report saying that about 30% of the world's food processes are wasted, right? Are considered wastes. And one-third of whatever you eat turns into waste or the processes, right? Inclusive of processes, inclusive wasted food and so forth. And these are the areas where we will look to it to recycle back into nature, giving it to fish meals and animal feed and so forth. They're eating high protein items, basically from food waste and so forth, recycling through one whole bioconversion.
I see.
Right, to create something where instead of using artificial chemical laced type of feed meals, it will give you a healthier option for farmed fishing, for example, or even farm animals. Right.
And is this process carried out daily with the food waste?
It does.
It's daily.
So if you look at it in terms of the food waste itself, when the food waste goes into the plant, basically it's being fed to the larvae of the soldier flies. The soldier flies could actually have about 500 to 600 eggs laid up, right? And they have a very short lifespan, about a month, right? From the larvae, eat up the food waste, they turn into pupas. They would have the feces basically also converted into fertilizers, right? Fertilizers goes to your crops. Crops get fertilized and you get better crops instead of chemicals. More organic in that sense, mm-hmm. right? Everybody talks about organic now, right? And you also have another one which is being converted into fish meals,
yeah.
which you go to the kelong and so forth and start distributing it off. Reason being why they chose Asia, what we know of this company, was because in Asia, we have a lot of aquaculture. If you go to Indonesia, you go to Malaysia, as far or as even as near as Pulau Ketam,
mm-hmm.
you see kelongs along the way. Right, so these are the areas of opportunities for you to actually feed those fishes. Instead of maybe using soybeans, for example, which is pretty expensive.
I think I read online that some people are exploring giving this to seagulls and
yeah.
so that they don't, you know, because seagulls eat fish and because of our depleting marine life, it would be a good way to counter that as well.
I think there are some reports having different ideas about what it can be used for. Mm. But I think the reason where it's looking at recycling now is very much on sustainability, right? You need to sustain your food basket. Marine life and everything else, overfishing is a huge problem.
Mm.
So farming is another option. I do not also discount the fact that perhaps one day it could be even be converted to something where humans could eat it, right? So it's basically something that's been recycled and so forth. A creation of another protein that you will put into your burgers, for example.
Mm, I mean, I was reading about that online as well. I know that some people are exploring turning that into protein for humans.
Correct. And I think that's one thing where you have to get away from the perception that you're eating rubbish.
Mm.
Right. So I think it's the same thing like in Singapore. You've been drinking recycled water from the sanitary, right? They have new water in Singapore. So it's the same perception change. are they looking at?
Yeah. I mean, these flies are really fascinating.
That's right.
They are not a pest to humans. And unlike your regular house flies, you know, which can spread diseases, black soldier flies are actually not known as disease vectors. They do not bite and they do not carry pathogens, you know, on their feet or their mouth parts. So, yeah, they are really fascinating. Are they native to Southeast Asia or Malaysia specifically?
They are not. Based on my readings and also from what I know, they are actually from Madagascar.
Mm.
Right? They are not actually from Southeast Asia. They've been brought here, created. There's actually just one of them, which is basically black soldier flies. There are various other insects or even worms that basically do this, but this one has the fastest turnaround.
Mm. So how are you farming these flies?
It's done actually in Kuala Selangor, Bestari Jaya, right? A company doing that is actually called Anto Food, right? They are the ones that's pioneering this in Malaysia. We had the honor of actually working with them to help them to see whether or not this would work, but it has worked very well for us. It has reduced our costs. From the typical tipping from the landfills. As you know, right, if you were to send a bin to the tipping field or the landfill itself in Jeram, cost us maybe close to about 55 ringgit for tipping. The transport itself would be about 250, 260 ringgit, right? But yet we still have to pay another 55 bucks, right, for each bin that we use. However, if we send it to Anto Food, for example, we only need to pay for the logistics, which is the same, but we avoid paying for putting the stuff there, right? And it gets used again. Whereas a landfill basically gets mixed up and just dumped in there, right? There are various segregation being done in landfills. I'm not denying that fact. But however, this one goes directly to the use, right, in that way. The flies are fascinating. The name itself is fascinating. There's actually a scientific name to it. I can't remember. It was something like Hemesis, something Lutetius, yes. Right? So it's
black soldier flies is the more, I think it would be more familiar to people.
Correct, yeah. So, and it is black, right? And if you look, if you ever get a chance to go to the plant itself, you're able to look at it. According to the plant, ourselves, our shopping center, ourselves, have contributed close to about 1.5 tons a day to them, right? They need about 5 tons a day to feed the flies. The balance of it at the moment now, they claim that is being provided for by some companies doing grain processing to do so, right? So that's where we are at. And I think we are not stopping there because I think education of the public, education of the industry would actually help in the future, for example, of all shopping centres following suit. Ours being just a startup, a new shopping centre, we may not have the 100% capacity yet in terms of providing them with the tonnage that they require. Like I mentioned just now, in the month of July, we had about 44 tonnes, right? And if you were to look at other shopping centres, for example, if they were to follow suit, right, there'll be enough for them to actually feed the number of flies, and the expansion of it would actually improve in terms of creation of new protein source for not only crops as fertilisers or even for fish meals or animal feed, right?
You know, so you mentioned earlier that these flies do have a lifespan of about a month,
yes.
A month or to perhaps 45 days from
yes.
what I've read. You know, but they are picky about how they breed and how they lay eggs
yes.
and, you know, how you get these flies to adapt to the needs of a daily ritual, you know, in industrial process, for example. You know, how do you ensure that the management is carrying out ethical farming of these flies?
I think when we were looking at that, the guys who are doing the company in Anto Food are basically all biologists, right? They're not commercially driven for the first stage. They were basically people who had a mission to look at biotech as something to create sustainability. And we believe, and all the practices and so forth that they've been doing, is basically to create something where it's not changing the way nature works, but it's basically using nature to do what it does best, to actually create another environment, right? And when we were looking at partners, I think one of the criteria for us was basically to look through what they have done and so forth. A lot of things there that because they are doing it in a very pilot project, because we are part of a pilot project at the moment now, we are being also in the way of looking at in the future, propagating the idea that, you know, this is something sustainable for everybody else to do, right? Not easy to be the first, but when there's a belief that it's something ethical, I think it would work, but it would take a bit of time.
You know, I suppose, what are some of the challenges you face with this initiative? Because, I mean, just going back to the flies itself, which are the main points of discussion, they, for example, maggots overheat when there are too many feeding at once. You know, how, you know, how do you deal with that? How does the management deal with that?
I think when we are talking to the our partners and so forth, I think most of the areas on how they basically ensure that they don't get overeating or overheated or the environment they are in, right? Segregation of the number of food per ratio in terms of the flies and also the larvae are being properly considered. And I think it's not that you just put in the number of larvae and dump the whole food waste onto them and hopefully they eat up and that's it, right? It's not that way. They basically have a formula to do it, the numbers and the ratio to the food waste that they put in. And the type of food waste, you don't pour soup. So soup is not part of food waste. That is settled in another way elsewhere. It's not done with the soldier flies. What you do is basically scraps that you look at, but not soups, right? So again, the type of materials that you have. So for example, if you have a certain tonnage that you submit up to them, another segregation has to be done. Right, there are some items which may have been, I would say, juveniles been put into it. Could be something that we missed out, had to be taken out first. Certain things that can't be eaten has to be taken out first. So, but that percentage is very small. Maybe according to them, it's about maybe 2%, to 1 to 2%. So it's been going down because the segregation is only as good as a source. Right.
So from your tenants itself.
That's right.
And, you know, speaking of your tenants, how do they benefit from this? You know, I remember reading, I think, that some of them, you know, I think it was a bit of a difficult thing to adapt to. You know, how, you know, what steps do you take to prepare them for that responsibility? And what were the challenges they initially face?
I think the buy-in from the tenants, right, is primarily about looking at what they find that would irk them a lot. When you look at tenants, of course, telling them about the benefits and educating them about sustainability and so forth will not work in the beginning, right? Because they don't put it in certain majority as important yet. But when you talk to them about cutting the cost down, most tenants would have a set number of shop managers or shop assistants, for example. In all shopping centres or even office spaces or even schools and so forth, to go down to the refuse area takes a bit of time. For you to take down your refuse, take in the lifts, depending on which level you are, it could go up to maybe close to 20 minutes for one run. It could go up to maybe a half an hour to a run. Reason being is waiting for the lifts to go up to maybe your highest level will be close to 5-6 minutes. The route to that lift to the area where you have your refuse area is another thing. So always stage or maybe just say half an hour. It's still money for them in terms of creating productivity in sales, right? So you can't get them to do rubbish runs or refuse runs during the break either because that's where they have their breaks. So when we spoke to them and told them that, look, what we'll do is that since we're going to be segregating anyway, the least you could do if you could segregate for us is that we would collect the rubbish from you. So when we start collecting rubbish from them, it means that the cost basically is nullified. Mm. And we provided them with utensils, meaning that if you were to do food waste, for example, we were giving you white pails and plastics as well, recyclable plastics. And some of the pails, what happens is that the pails that is for food waste is only for food waste. Those that has soups and everything has going into a black bag. The white transparent bag could be things like bottles or empty containers, which is plastics, which you could actually, or paper cups, which you could recycle else another mode and so forth.
I see.
And when they don't need to carry, and if you know that if your shop does very good business, lunch times and towards dinner time is when your bins get filled up, right? And your kitchen is only so big.
Mm.
So when we start carrying them off, carrying that off from them, it makes their work a bit easier. They could concentrate on basically creating a better environment, keeping the place more hygienic, and also helping us to segregate, meaning that ultimately the education process for them is hopefully being transcended down to everybody else. Then you start educating them, the reason where it comes from. I think for us, in another 3-4 months from now, we're looking at maybe doing exhibitions and so forth. And then also, I would say, sharing with the other people in the industries, schools, even
schools.
Other tenants as well, to tell them that, look, you know, it starts from where you are. And hopefully with tenants as well, those who has bigger portions, maybe when we have this data, we will tell them that, hey, you know, perhaps maybe your portions are too huge. Sometimes it's the value proposition that you put out, meaning that you have a large plate of lots of stuff, but you can't finish it more often than not, means that your shop keeps on having one of the largest food refuse collections in the shopping center. It means there's something wrong maybe with your portions of food. That's why people are not eating it finished, because maybe they are not into this idea of tapawing anymore. Or maybe perhaps they can't finish it even though it tastes good, right? So it's a bit different. I think it also acts an ability to tell people that maybe the proportioning of food nowadays cannot be what we all think, that lots is good.
Mm.
It could be just something that's just enough. Price may go down, right? And in the end of the day, you basically have a sustainable circle, more than just basically recycling them, but basically to ensure that the proportion that you put is lower than what you have.
And, you know, how do you hope that, you know, what are you doing to ensure that this environmental responsibility and approach to food waste also trickles down to your customers?
Yeah, I think when you look at customers, right, the third phase for us, we have now gone into the second phase, which is getting the buy-in already from the tenants, right? The first phase that we had was basically getting our bosses to agree to us to do things like this, because again, it takes a bit of work, right? The third phase would basically be your customers.
Mm.
Now, customers, if we can, we're also trying to get F&B restaurants and so forth, especially fast food, to see whether they could encourage their patrons to bring their trays back, right? And dump the rubbish on paper one side, chicken bones on the other side, for example, if they're eating fast food. Unfinished burgers on one side, on the drinks, water on one side, paper cups on one side. So it's not only on food waste, but also on the recycling matter itself. So it's easier for you to do. So once you don't mix your papers and everything else, it doesn't get soggy and so forth, it's still usable, right? Things like that is being done. Straws and everything else, I think there's so much campaigns being done already, so we don't want to do it because it's already there. So we try to do things that people are not doing it at the moment now to encourage. The other one is basically to encourage maybe shoppers to look at perhaps sharing some of the food a bit too huge for the time being, right? So, of course, these campaigns and everything else, You have to do it in a way, in a subtle manner, so people will know that, you know, eat while you can. There are some tenants at the moment now who also encourage their patrons to select the grammage of what they want to eat, right? And they must finish it. Otherwise, what will happen is that there's a little fine down there. There are some tenants doing it. If you notice around, if you go to certain shops, they have sizes. They don't call it for small, medium, large anymore. They call it by grams, how many grams do you want? So that's where it is. I think buffets and everything else in Malaysia is one area where I think people should take consideration of, because that's typically where a lot of food wastage comes about. Yeah.
I mean, we are reaching the end of our show. Do you have a takeaway message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think sustainability in any aspect is everybody's job. It cannot be just relied on to the shopping centres or the property owners. I think sustainability is everybody's job. I think that's a takeaway message that I want to provide everybody with. No matter how small, how big that you're doing it, it's still something, a step forward. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
Thank you very much.
I was speaking to Anthony Dillon, who is the COO of CPN Malaysia. We were discussing how a mall in Shah Alam is dealing with their food waste and how others can follow in their footsteps. If you've missed any part of this interview or any Earth Matters segments, you can download the podcast on the BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. You've been listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.